Iowa City is captivating. It will make you get wasted. I've felt I've been at the most major crossroads many times before, but I am at the crossroads. A lot of times I talk about selling out, or when I talk about selling out, I talk about how I tried to sell out and it didn't take. And I've got a whole, I could do a series of stories of Dave's attempts at, you know, quote unquote, selling out and giving up a non-traditional artistic lifestyle, you know, based on some lottery tournament pursuit of financial success slash fame, and trying to sell out and not having it take. I tried to sell cars and like hilarious hijinks ensue, and suddenly I'm in a dress and all the guys are laughing or whatever, and it doesn't work out. But, and I have a serious plan to sell out that I think is impervious, and there are things I need to say before I sell out, because everyone thinks they're going to sell out and it's going to be fine and they're going to continue to maintain their edge, but you lose it in spite of yourself. So anyways, before I sell out, if there's one story that nobody knows, it's what happened to Dave Good when he lived in St. Louis, Missouri. You know, a lot of the Dave Good Show is part artistic process, and I'm, you know, getting ready to assemble this whole kind of story about St. Louis. I believe since it's a long story, it starts with a prologue. And one other thing, none of this is written down, you know, this is Dave Good's oral tradition. These are not, you know, there's no notes here. In my own defense, this is how I remember it. So the prologue is Iowa City. In Iowa City, at some point, I had some kind of artistic awakening and decided that I wanted to become a filmmaker. You know how it goes. I got a job at a movie theater. I started engaging in quote-unquote mind-expanding behavior, and I watched a lot of movies, and it was right around the time of Pulp Fiction and Tarantino, and shit, it was time to become an independent filmmaker. Anyway, so I fall in with a group of guys, you know, a group of dudes, intellectuals, college dropouts, or college students, you know, but intellectuals, and we decide that we're gonna make movies together. But I really believed in them, and I believed that we were going to make movies together someday. So we're doing that. We're watching movies. We're talking about movies, but we're not really writing anything down. We're definitely not starting to engage in the process of really making a film. We're just talking about ourselves as filmmakers and talking about films because we've seen a lot of them as if we know what we're talking about. And there were these two key occurrences that happened that caused me to lose my belief in this group of young filmmakers and then move to St. Louis, Missouri. Incident one, Oliver Stone. Now, I love Oliver Stone. We had read the book Killer Instinct, which is the story of the making of Natural Born Killers, and it was kind of like our blueprint for how to make a movie. And I was super into Oliver Stone, and we were all very excited when we found out that Oliver Stone was coming to Iowa City to give a speech, like a lecture tour, you know? Oh man, Oliver Stone is coming, and we have just read a book about Oliver Stone, and we're going to hang out with Oliver Stone, right? And of course, our plan is, as any plan of 19-year-old filmmakers would be, is that we're going to get Oliver Stone high, right? We know he smokes pot. We're going to get some pot, and we're going to, you know, he's going to travel by plane, and we're going to get high with Oliver Stone. You know, that's our goal, and we're all really excited about it. And I am very excited about it and very motivated to do it. So he comes in, we go to see his lecture, and it's fantastic. There's a guy in the lecture who stands up during question time and says, "Hey, Oliver Stone, you know, I don't really think your movies are that good. I thought that JFK was kind of simplistic, and I thought that The Doors was just meandering, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera," just insults his work. And Oliver Stone just says, "Well, I really look forward to viewing your next feature." You know, if you can make a better movie, you're more than welcome to, which I think is a great response and like a great kind of line of defense for any artist. So the lecture ends and we go back to my apartment, and suddenly like the excuses are starting to flow about why we're not going to go out in search of Oliver Stone. I mean, I don't know how we thought we were going to find him, but like I said, we had read this book and I knew that he partied, you know, and Iowa City is a legendary party town, and he had to, you know, get caught up in it and take, you know, Iowa City is captivating. It will make you get wasted. Ignore my advice at your own peril. So these friends of mine, they all back out. You know, oh, we're not going to be able to meet him. Oh, we don't have enough pot, which was like always the problem with not being able to make a movie. Oh, we don't have enough pot. They decide against it. You know, everyone in the group, they decide against it, and they're not going to go out looking for Oliver Stone. And I can't believe it. I'm like, this is our one chance, and this is how it happens. I mean, that's the classic kind of get discovered Hollywood thing. You meet Oliver Stone, you get him high, you tell him your movie idea, and boom, you're a filmmaker, you know? So I leave the apartment and walk the streets kind of dejected, but also bound and determined to find Oliver Stone. I'm not kidding you. I'm walking down the street. I'm walking in front of a famous Iowa City bar, and Oliver Stone walks right out in front of me. Right out in front of me. He's got two graduate school age college girls, you know, one on each arm, and he screams at the top of his lungs, "I love Iowa." And then he gets into a Jeep Cherokee and is driven away. In that moment, I felt like I was onto something. This had to be some kind of a sign from above, this chance meeting with Oliver Stone, and that I should continue to hold tight to my dream of being a filmmaker and continue on. Part two of the story is, of course, David Lynch. I don't know if you've seen The Straight Story, but David Lynch also came to Iowa. He is in a small town, and if you don't know anything about Iowa, I mean, you are in the middle of nowhere when you're in a small town in Iowa. Again, the guys start to talk, the filmmaking dudes, you know, we're going to go to Lorenz, Iowa, and we're going to pitch ourselves as production assistants, and we're going to work with David Lynch. And I'm like, yes, that is an awesome idea. I can leave tomorrow at noon, you know? And they're like, oh no, we're leaving tonight. I'm like, I can't leave tonight. I'm a pizza delivery driver, and I work incredibly long hours. But no, we're going to leave it tonight. And I can't believe it. They're actually telling me they're going to go without me. They're like sacred band of brothers filmmakers. We're going to stand up with our vision against the man. They're selling me out because I got to work one night and I got a good car and I always drive and I don't understand. And these guys say they're going to go without me. So I go to work and I'm totally crushed. You know, my friends don't want to, are going to go meet David Lynch, like my maybe, you know, he's above Oliver Stone in my mind, like a big, big time hero. And I get back from work at 4 a.m. and of course they're sitting around smoking bongs. You know, they don't go see David Lynch. And not only that, they put our friendship on the line for something they're not even going to do. At this time, I believe I was in and out of college for a while in my 19, 20, 21 kind of time. I got a brochure from this school in St. Louis, Missouri, this small film school called Webster. And I knew nothing about St. Louis at all. I just knew that I needed a way out of this situation, that these guys I thought I was going to make movies with were not going to make movies. They may have a different story, and I'm sure that they do, but that is how I felt. And to this day, no movies were created. My parents really want me to go back to college. They have the wherewithal to send me to St. Louis. And I decide rapidly, after one phone conversation, I'm moving to St. Louis to go to Webster University. And I'm going to be a filmmaker. And so I left.
You've been listening to The Dave Good Show.